Welcome to Movie Crush, a production of iHeartRadio.
All right. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Mini Crush Monday. This is number two for us of the day, but for you, it's a week later. How does that work?
It's time travel, my friend. The magic of podcasting. I like the idea of a two for Tuesday, but it's a Wednesday. So doesn't hold up. Does not hold up.
We could do a Thweefa Wednesday.
Never mind. I just like the hua sound. How you doing? You doing? You about the same? Everything good?
I'm the same as we were 2 minutes ago.
Yeah, but you dialed me back up on Skype, so I feel like there was a reset because as folks may recall from last week on Mini Crush, Chuck's video was out of sync with his audio.
That's right.
It was really fucking with Noel's mind, man.
That's right.
So I requested a reset, and now it's beautiful.
That's right. Now we are in sync, like JC Chavez. What's his name?
Was he in NSYNC or was he in
JC Chavez.
Chasse.
How do you pronounce that?
JC Chasse. Yeah, right?
I don't even know, Noel.
I had a Zoom call with a Backstreet Boy a couple weeks ago.
That was
pretty cool. Yeah, it was AJ. I was able to pass his project on to somebody else who was better suited to it, but it was a real trip. I'm collecting some real cool Zoom screenshots, Chuck.
Yeah, me too. It's fun.
I had one yesterday with the guy's name is Byron Scott. He used to play for the LA Lakers.
Sure. Fucking Byron Scott.
Just like legendary. He played with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and shit and like coached a bunch as well.
Yeah, he was a coach.
Really loved his pitch. I can't get into it, but it's like, what a cool guy. He was so humble and kind. And then I had a call later with Bill Flanagan, who was like Bob Dylan's biographer and has like written all these amazing like rock kind of, you know, journalist kind of pieces and books over the years. And
amazing.
Really, really interesting dude.
That's so cool, Noel. I miss those days when I was doing more development, but we've been so busy with the Stuff You Should Know book. That you can pre-order now, everyone. Just go to stuffyoushouldreadbooks.com.
It's awesome.
And you can pre-order it there and get your pre-order gift, which is a cool custom poster illustrated by our great illustrator for the book, Carly Minardo. It's coming together nicely, Noel. It looks really fucking great. You're gonna love it.
I'm excited to see it. Yeah, I think I told you we're doing one, too, for Stuff They Don't Want You to Know. It's early stages, but we were included in that whole rollout, which I'm excited about.
It's a lot of work, Noel.
Uh-huh. I can only imagine.
Turns out writing a book is a lot of work, even if you have help writing the book. And we do. We have a co-author named Nils Parker, who is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still a lot of work.
Yep. I've met Nils.
But you met Nils. He's great. Love that guy. He does movie writing and stuff, too.
Movie writing?
Yeah, like punch-ups and rewrites and... I'm sure he has his own originals out there as well, but Nils
book
is a
writing
good guy.
And movie writing.
Book he's writing a, and movie writing.
He's a real twofer.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
So Noel, we're going to go ahead and jump in because we have a few pieces of material to deliver to the masses, the small masses. I asked the Crushers what movie B-I-O-P-I-C.
Biopic.
What movie biopic would you most like to see, and who plays the leads? You got anyone that you can think of, Noel, that you'd like to see a movie about?
I think I've said on the show before. That's not my thing.
Oh, that's right. You hate real people.
I don't hate. It just takes a lot for me to really get into one of those. I really did like Bohemian Rhapsody quite a lot, though. Actually,
okay.
Despite those terrible gaudy teeth that he had rocking, but I really enjoyed the movie a lot.
Okay. And you know, it doesn't have to be music. It can be do you hate all of history? Do you hate every historical figure?
My goodness, Chuck. I really liked Downfall, which was the great Bruno Ganz playing Adolf Hitler.
Okay.
That's a real good
one. Yeah, man. I need to see that.
Oh, that one is good, dude. It's really good.
So you like the only biopics you like are about Hitler. Okay, I get it.
That's exactly what I said. Cool. Freddie Mercury and Hitler.
Cool.
Isn't there a Bowie one coming out that's like real deal? Like not some kind of movie of the week thing? I don't know. I'd be into that.
Yeah, I mean, I'll see all those. I like biopics.
They cast somebody that looked interesting. I can't remember who he was, but it was somebody I'd seen in other stuff. Speaking of that, we're doing and developing currently a biopod series about the space invader himself, Mr. David Bowie. He's not the space invader. I made that up. He's the, what do they call him?
Ziggy Stardust?
Ziggy Stardust, but like the man who fell to Earth.
Fell to Earth?
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, it's really invader. Great. No, he kind of says that. Doesn't he say, I'm a space invader.
Okay.
I'm a mama, papa coming for you. He says, he doesn't say.
He You're says developing a show about David Bowie?
It is a single voice narrative biopod series. It's going to be about 16 episodes, roughly, hosted and narrated and written by the amazing Jordan Runtag, who does our show Rivals, which if you haven't listened to, Chuck, you got to check it out.
Have not.
Rivals is about the greatest beefs in music history, and like the last episode they did was about Billy Corgan versus Stephen Malkmus because of that line in Range Life.
Well, I gotta hear that.
It's dude, listen to it because it's him and he's great, and then his co-host on that is this guy Steve Hayden, who wrote the book literally on music rivalries called Your Favorite Band Is Killing You. He also is the guy that did that Woodstock 99 series on Luminary. But yeah, they're fantastic, great chemistry. But Jordan is doing this it's sort of like Disgraceland, and it's a single voice kind of narrative, you know, story about a musician with no music license from the actual musician. It's all original music that we did ourselves on our team.
Can't wait. It sounds amazing.
I'll send you the pilot. I think you will really like it.
This is Bowie to Bowie.
Exactly.
All right. We're going to start off here with Patrick James Bradway. He says, I want to see a movie version of King of Kong where Matt Damon plays Steve Wiebe and Keanu Reeves plays Billy Mitchell.
That is a great idea.
That's a totally great
that
idea.
That casting is perfect.
I think Hollywood, if you're listening, these are some pretty good ideas here. Jamie Power says a movie about Salvador Dali. Totally. I want to see that movie. He said it's a live action film with the exception of the Dali character, who is animated and voiced by Antonio Banderas. Wow. That could be interesting.
That could be. I would go more of like maybe there's animated sequences. You know, there's a real actor playing, but maybe it goes into dreamy kind of psychedelic animation every now and then. That'd
yeah.
be cool.
Well, if it's psychedelic, I know you'll like it.
You know I love some psychedelia, Chuck.
Because you eat drugs for breakfast.
Uh-huh. I told you about my new iced coffee fetish, right?
Yeah.
That's basically drugs.
Sure. Our old friend Jenna Van Valen, coolest name in the podcast listener business.
So good.
This is a great idea. I want to see this movie, Jenna. A biopic about Harry Nilsson, played by James McAvoy. That could see that.
Yep. Yeah, similar kind of bone structure.
I love these. Yeah, I love these casting games.
Yep, super fun.
Sometimes people have a real knack for picking out. All right, here we go. Debbie Frangadakis, one of our oldest friends, says, Lori Lightfoot. Don't know about Lori. She's the first mayor of Chicago that is a black female lesbian. I suspect she had numerous obstacles coming up through politics, and she's still pretty funny and has so much sincere personality compared to some politicians. Could be played by Robin Givens. Is she the current mayor of Chicago? I don't know much about Chicago politics.
I know that it was very corrupt.
Well,
maybe it's gotten less so, but it's notoriously a corrupt political city.
She served as since May 2019 served as the 56th mayor of Chicago. All right. No, she looks great.
I got a good one that just came up. Actually, we did an episode of Ridiculous History with Joe Piazza, who does our show on the network Committed. Unconventional marriages, and she's like a best-selling author about relationships, and she's a fantastic, lovely person. But we did a two-part series about Kate Warren, who was the first female Pinkerton detective, and she basically waltzes into the Pinkerton detective agency and says she wants a job. And Pinkerton, this is like when it was just like one office in Chicago, actually. he says, okay, we're not hiring for secretaries, love, you know? And she's like, no, sir, I want to be a detective. And then she explains to him how she can get into places as a woman that a man couldn't get. And she could talk secrets out of, like, the wives of criminals and stuff. And sure enough, she was just, like, a smash, and she totally killed it. And she ended up, like, protecting Lincoln during his first assassination attempt, where they had to smuggle him, like, on this train because he was going through Baltimore, which was, like, super, anti-Lincoln, and he there was a plot to kill him. But Joe conjectured it would be great to do a TV series on her where you kind of fictionalized it a little bit, like,
yeah,
sort of, because there's a lot people don't know about her, but she's total badass, like, female detective.
Dude, love that. That'd be a good Stuff You Should Know episode, or short stuff, maybe.
Totally.
Let me see here. Caitlin Callaghan says, no idea who would cast, but a biopic on Fleetwood Mac centered on the Making the Rumors album would be so great. Yes, I'm so down with that. You know, the Rumors album, Noel, one of the great records of all time.
Mm-hmm.
And they hated each other's guts when they made it.
It's so crazy. I mean, they, you know, they do. There's a Rivals episode on that feud.
I got to listen to that show.
Oh, dude, I'm telling you, you're really
right
going to dig it. You're really going to dig it. But I didn't realize any of that they, like, stayed together in the band for, like, years and years.
Oh, yeah.
And just couldn't stand each other.
Yeah, it was tough. I mean, two divorces happening. And then various affairs with Mick while it was all going on. It was tough. And lots of drugs.
Yep.
Which always seems to calm things down. Piles of cocaine.
Yep.
Exactly. Our old buddy Jimmy Kuykendall says, oh boy, this would be great. Frank Lloyd Wright and cast Leonardo DiCaprio. You could pull off younger and older. Yeah,
I'm such a dumb. Was he an architect, or who was Frank Lloyd Wright?
Yes,
an architect. Yeah,
yes, one of the great American architects.
Yeah,
really, really fantastic stuff. And highly unusual. His style. He was noted for having some of his places not be so structurally, not sound, but, like, you know, some his roofs would leak sometimes, and he worried about how it looked. And there was a famous story about one of his very rich clients who had a leak in his office, and said that he called him up and said that he has water dripping on his desk. And Frank Lloyd Wright says, then move your desk. Burn. Totally. I don't know if that's true or not, but it's a great story. Becca Lou says, Elizabeth Blackwell deserves a damn movie. I think Dakota Fanning could play her well, young. And in the older version, maybe Christina Applegate.
Elizabeth Blackwell?
Yeah, she's great. We just did a podcast on her not too long ago. She was the first woman to get a medical degree, and, like, basically the first licensed medical doctor, female medical doctor in the United States.
I knew it rung a bell.
And more.
Right,
yeah, she was something else. Marilyn Monroe, that comes from Molly Thibodeau, and get Emma Stone. Yeah, I could see that.
Surprised that hasn't been done yet. I wonder if it has to do with, like, life rights or estate or something. I'm really surprised there hasn't been a proper Marilyn doc or biopic.
Yeah, I agree. I would have thought that would have been happened, because it's a rags to riches to tragedy. You know, it's got all the markers of great drama. But where,
yeah,
she,
I mean,
is.
The whole JFK thing, and then, like, she was married to Henry Miller, right? The playwright, and they had, like, a notoriously kind of
Joe DiMaggio
marriage. Yeah, lots of interesting historical intersections with that story.
She championed Ella Fitzgerald's career. One of our books that we read to Ruby is a book on Ella Fitzgerald and Marilyn Monroe and their friendship, and Marilyn Monroe really putting her neck on the line and going to club owners and saying, you need to put this black woman in your club, even though you're not supposed to do that, because I will show up. And the press will show up if I show up. And so they did. And she really gave her a kickstart. And they were really, really good friends. It's a very sweet story.
Really quickly, a new Marilyn Monroe biopic is in the works. Depicting her last months.
Ooh.
Based on the Keith Badman book, I think. The Final Years of Marilyn Monroe.
Does it say who they cast?
Let's see. Oh, this is actually a series. It's going to be a series.
Okay.
Not a movie. And they cast...
Dun, dun, dun. Drum roll.
Who did they cast? It's not...
Brrr. Drum roll.
Sorry. No. Oh.
This is great radio, Noel.
Fuck, man. Anna de Armas. I'm sorry. There's two things. There's a series, and then there's a Netflix movie that Brad Pitt produced, and it's Anna de Armas, who was the kind of the protagonist, I guess, in Knives Out, and she was also the sexy hologram in Blade Runner 2049.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. I'll buy that.
Interesting.
All right, Noel, we're going to move on to a new category. I'm going to leave that up, though, because it's fun playing casting games. Mm-hmm. I'm saying best or favorite kids performance. And I said anyone, you know, kind of under 13, not
sure,
not teenage performance, but a true kid performance, because it's tough, man. So many bad ones. So many precocious little assholes throughout movie history. You know, it's tough. We're going to start, though, with Jenny Gernon Keller, with Ivana Baquero and Pan's Labyrinth. Noel, you can comment. You've seen that movie.
Wonderful, wonderful, heartbreaking performance.
Yeah.
That one's a toughie. That one's almost like Dancer in the Dark level, like upsetting. It's beautiful, but it's like it really twists the knife because it mixes like fantasy and just like brutal reality in such a, oh gosh, it's just such an artful way.
Interesting. And, you know, they covered that on Friendly Fire as a war movie.
Well, it is. It absolutely is. Yeah. No question about it.
Check that out. Our old friend Jeff Clark says, Haley Stansfield in True Grit. Totally. Yeah, she was great. Slightly old for this question, but not really. Kind of right on the edge. Sierra Rain, one of our oldest friends, says, someone reminded me of young Robert Downey Jr. was the kid in Heart and Souls. Such a cute little ham and so sweet. Yeah, I don't know that movie, I don't think.
Mm. I nominate all the kids in the Florida Project.
Yeah, totally.
And they're all like non-actors.
Yeah, just that movie.
Get that. What a fucking movie, man.
Yeah, that's one of the greats.
Love. If anyone, it's streaming now on either Netflix or Hulu or one of the ones. But I think it's Netflix. But if you haven't seen that, get ye to a streaming equipped television, my friends. It will break your heart and then lift you up, and then it's so good. It's not it's not like total misery, or it really has like a silver lining in a weird way. It's sort of like a dire situation where it's these kids and this, you know, mother who lives in this seedy motel, I guess, in Orlando.
So great.
But it's something about it, it's just not in total depression. You know what I mean? Like there's something about it that has like a little glimmer of magic to it. Where the kids just make their own world.
It's uplifting a little bit too, for sure. Well, since we're on that note, Noel, I'm going to say maybe one of my favorites of all time is the young girl in Beasts of the Southern Wild. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to pronounce her first name, but it is, I'm going to try. Kuvanzani Wallace, perhaps. Mm. Boy, she was good. Just adorable. And I don't know if that director's, I think it was him that made that movie called Wendy.
That's right.
And I don't know if that was supposed to come out this year, and was it pushed back or did it come out?
No, I think it came out and it did sort of like,
did it not do well?
Fizzled. It didn't do really well, and it was pretty panned, actually.
Oh no, because the trailer makes me literally cry. It looks so good. Interesting.
Yeah.
That's
it is disappointing because it was years and years between that and Beasts. Let's see.
You know what? I'm reading right here. 38% on Rotten Tomatoes, and it says Wendy dares to do something different with its classic source material. You know, it's based on Peter Pan. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, the breathtaking visuals are at odds with a flawed take on the story.
Interesting.
That's really disappointing because it looked so magical.
It looks amazing. Even the poster is really striking.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully he comes back with something else.
I'll watch it. Here, Jade Anna Rosenberg says Florida Project, Noel. So she said the girl who plays the main daughter, Brooklyn Prince, is incredible. Yes, she is. Alicia Dietz, one of our old friends, says the kids from A Quiet Place crush it. Facial expressions and emotions are so well played. Yeah, they were good, I thought. They did a really good job in that movie.
Favorites.
Henry Thomas in E.T., that comes from Philip Ashworth.
Yeah.
He was great. So was Drew Barrymore.
Uh-huh. I told you my Henry Thomas story, right? Saw him at Ariel Pink show.
Yeah,
and
that's
I was
great.
Like, who is that guy? Because he's like, you know, you can't put your finger on it when he's like 40. You know, and I'm like, I feel like I know that guy. And then there, someone pointed out that it was Elliot from E.T. He's around a lot because he was in that show, The Haunting of Hill House. Uh-huh. And then they shot that all here back when, you know, movies were a thing.
Okay, so here, look, someone pronounces it for me. Ashley Crowley, thank you.
Oh, the name
swoops
of the
in with the pronunciation. It's actually pronounced Quavenjane Wallace. And Beast of the Southern Wild. That's Hush
Puppy. The girl from Beasts. Okay, great.
Yeah, you saw that, right?
When it came out, I need to see it again. That's the one with like the big pig, right? It's not a pig, but it's like a kind of creature.
Yeah. It's like a warthog.
Yeah.
Or something. The Kids in Moonrise Kingdom, that's from D.C. Hoover. Yeah, they were good too. And you got to throw Jojo Rabbit in there.
Yep.
Some of the best kid acting I've seen in a long, long time.
It's so subtle too. Like the chubby kid, I loved him. He just really, really it's good great. Timing, really good comedic timing.
He was hysterical. Mm-hmm. Here's our old friends, Stellan Carlson. Hey, Stellan, how you doing, bud? Haley Joel Osment in Sixth Sense. Yeah. Natalie Portman in The Professional. That's from Heidi Laumann. Dakota Fanning in I Am Sam. That's from our old friend, Yvonne Baudet. Charles Martin Akers, one of our good friends, says Elijah Wood and Macaulay Culkin in The Good Son. Yeah, Macaulay Culkin, he was a little precocious, but ultimately likable, I think.
Oh, The Good Son was creep fest, man. That was good with him and little Elijah Wood.
Yeah.
He's sort of like, you know, he's like a demon child and kind of murderous little bastard.
Yeah.
And Elijah Wood is kind of the sweet one, and he has to contend with his evil, I think it's like his cousin or something. He goes to live with, it's like his mother passes away, and he has to go live with Macaulay Culkin and his mom.
Christian Bale in Empire of the Sun. That's from Kevin Herbon, our old friend. That's right.
I always forget how long he's been in the game, dude. It's crazy.
Yeah, boy, he was that movie was so good. I think that was Spielberg too, right? Or did he
that's
just
right.
produce that?
No, I think you might be right.
Seth Nixon says, all the Goonies, yo. Okay, more votes for Beasts of the Southern Wild. Yeah, boy, she was so good in that. Hush Puppy, what a cute, cute character. And just heartbreaking. Many, many votes for her, Noel.
Quickly, unrelated. Have you seen Hamilton? Did you see it on Broadway or when like live?
No, but I'm excited to see the Disney thing here in a couple of days.
So excited. I'm glad I still have my account. I've been really wanting to see it, and I'm looking, and apparently it's getting rave reviews. Like the way it's filmed apparently really captures like the magic of kind of seeing it live.
Yeah. So. We'll be watching that, this weekend for the 4th of July, which is a week ago in real time. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Or in podcast time.
Did you know that Questlove was one of the producers of the Broadway show?
No, but it doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, he has got his finger on the pulse, my friend.
He is the Questlove. Boy, did you see the BET Awards the other night when they did the sort of modern version of Fight the Power?
No.
They had Chuck D and Flavor Flav, and they had a bunch of guests doing updated verses. About, you know, the current situation, and the Questlove was the DJ, and boy, oh boy, he was doing the scratch and null. Mm-hmm. So good. That song is still so powerful.
Yeah, man. He does these DJ sets on Instagram like almost every night of the week, and they're all themed.
Yeah.
And I highly recommend anybody check them out because he talks during them and he gives you like he's this like encyclopedic music brain. So he gives all this backstory. He did a whole series for a whole week just with the Jacksons, and I didn't realize how fucking awesome like the Lesser Jacksons solo records are, like Tito and Jermaine.
Uh-huh.
Like their solo records are really strong. Like, there's some great, great songs on those, and they're just such deep cuts because you don't really think of them as having hits per se.
Yeah.
But he turned me on to a lot of that stuff, and I got to interview him 2 weeks ago for like an internal sales thing.
I've done those.
I got to nerd out, and it was really fun.
Yeah, that's cool. I did one of those with our buddy Jake, Disgraceland. Mm-hmm. Check that out.
Yes,
Jake's a good guy. So here we go, Noel, with our final segment today. What movie scene just wrecks you emotionally every time you see it? Like, how many times can you cry about the same scene? And my answer is every time, if it's that good.
Yeah, yeah.
You got one?
I'm going to think on it for a second.
All right, think on it. We'll start with Luke Harkleroad, one of our old friends, says, not a scene, but during the credits of Last Jedi when they dedicated the movie to Carrie Fisher with the line, for our princess. She was an absolute treasure. Never been so affected by a celebrity death in my life. Yeah, that's a very poignant way to end that film. Let me see here. Joshua Green says, Interstellar, when Matthew McConaughey is watching his daughter on a video after they were on the water planet. His emotion when she's talking to him as an adult woman. Yeah, man. That was one of the few parts of that movie I loved. let me see here. I've never heard of this. Lisa Miller or Millar says, the brave little toaster when he jumps in the machinery to save his friend. I don't know that movie, Noel. Do you?
Yeah, it's like a kid's movie from the 90s, I want to say.
Okay.
The name says it all. It's about a brave little toaster and a bunch of other kitchen appliances that go That's on an cute. Adventure. I've never seen it, actually.
Our old friend Hanu Visuri says, Coco, basically the whole movie.
Yeah.
Remember me.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That was a good one.
So good. God, that movie is so good.
I'm having a hard time thinking of one.
That's because you're heartless, Noel.
Uh-huh.
Leah Bush
That's
says,
not true. Ask my kid. I cry at the drop of a hat, my friend, and she mocks me brutally.
Yeah, well, that's just how it goes. You get older, you get more emotional.
Mm-hmm.
Leah Bush says, The Green Mile, with this line of dialogue, please, boss, don't put that thing over my face. Please don't put me in the dark. Don't make me go into the dark. Eyes afraid of the dark. And she said, ugh, I'm going to cry just thinking about it.
Yeah.
I only saw that once.
Me too. Saw it in the theater when it came out.
Yeah, that was a one-timer for me. Jeff Halperin, one of our oldest of friends, says, the ending of Arrival. Oh, boy, you and me both, brother. Culmination of the choices she made and will make are so powerful and painful. Can't stop the tears. God, that movie wrecks me. Wrecks me.
It's a good one.
Beaches, when Barbara Hershey's character is dying and Bette Midler takes her to the beach one last time. That's from Jennifer Hoke Kramer. Yeah. Or our old friend Alec Glasnovich, this is the ending of The Florida Project. The well of emotions on Mooney's face when she sees Jancy, even before she starts tearing up, puts mm-hmm. me right on the edge of being an emotional puddle.
I actually saw that one only once, and I absolutely was crying at the end of that movie when she's running away and like running.
You know what
I
mean?
But it was like I was saying earlier, it was a kind of cathartic cry. It wasn't like a oh my God, this is so dire. It was just like it had this powerful uplift inside of me that I felt just, and it just, you know, converted into waterworks, if that makes sense. You know what I mean?
Yeah. God, what was the movie? Thunder Road. I've talked about this on the show before. Jim Cummings as the police officer who's dealing with the death of his mother and sort of just losing his mind a little bit. The ending of that movie, Noel, and maybe it was something I was going through at the time, but I was inconsolable. I was crying so hard. I was like, couldn't get my breath. I was crying so hard at the end of that
goodness.
Movie.
You did mention this film, and I'm not aware of it, but it sounds powerful. God.
So good.
Yeah.
Let me see here. AJ Middlestead, the end of Iron Giant. Oh, man. Superman destroys you and teaches you so much. God. Iron Giant's so good. You saw that, right, Noel?
I did, yeah. I've seen it a couple times, and it's beautiful, classic, old-school animation.
Yeah. Let me see here. Inside Out from Katie Thomas, the whole damn movie. Yeah, that was a tough one. Dancer in the Dark. Oh, boy.
No, yeah, that's definitely up there.
That's from Hannah Ha. She said, I saw it twice, once because I wanted to see it, and once because I wanted to show it to someone. The first time I cried hysterically toward the end. The second time I cried hysterically pretty much right from the beginning. Man, I haven't seen that in a long time. Emily and I saw that on one of our early dates in L.A. And I haven't seen it since. That's a tough one.
Yeah, my friends do a movie podcast called Videodrome Cinema, and they recently, I was a guest on it talking about the movie Phenomenon, this horror movie, but they recently discussed that movie, and I just messaged them, and I was like, nope, don't ever need to see that one again. Like, it's wonderful. It is a damn perfect movie, but it's just so sad, and it just gets worse and worse for this character, and it's just you want her to succeed and you want things to turn around for her, but they just don't, and it's
tough. Are you about to cry, Noel?
Mm-hmm.
Sydney Wolford says two scenes in movies, spoiler for Terms of Endearment. That movie wrecked me when Deborah Winger has to say goodbye to her kids. Oh Jesus, I can't even take that scene. And then it's Steel Magnolias when Sally Field is screaming after the funeral about her daughter being dead. Yes. All those things, Noel. There's something about it, though, that's really cathartic for me. I love being wrecked by a movie. Not always, but feels good in a way.
Yeah. No, it weird? Does. No, yeah, it is weird. Like I said, I mean, most times, you know, when my kid catches me crying, it's because I'm just loving something. It's because I'm moved by it, not because I'm sad or because it makes me, like, you know, feel bad. It really is like a very human feeling, and I think that's what connects us all, and totally. When you really connect with a character, with something that you can relate to, that's what triggers it sometimes for me, you know.
Yeah, I see Sally Fields and Steel Magnolias is getting a lot of love here. Stephanie Munden says the same thing. Oh boy, here's one for you, Noel, from Fox Rain Matthews, top fan and old friend. The movie Lion. Did you see that yet?
No, I've heard nothing but amazing things about it, though.
Oh boy, man, I'm not going to even say what happens then. But it's Fox Rain Matthews says, I grew up in foster care, so it tugs at some deep emotional roots and destroys me every time. You ain't kidding, brother. That is a deeply affecting film. Amy Ball says the end of Armageddon when Harry saying goodbye to Grace and he rips oxygen out, pushes AJ back in. I saw that on my brother's first date. Yes, I tagged along with his now wife. Oh, that's really sweet.
That's cute.
That's a very cute story. Matt Dent says Jesse's song in Toy Story 2. Yep. Maddie Baldwin says the fight in A Marriage Story is too real. Brings me to tears just thinking about it.
Yeah, that's one. We talked about this, Chuck. That's one I haven't brought myself to watch yet because you know, I went through a divorce and all that stuff's a little too real for me.
Yeah.
And I don't know that I want, I'm sure it's really, really well done, but it's just not something that I feel compelled to want to experience again, if that makes sense.
No, I hear you. It could be very triggering, I imagine. Another vote for Arrival from Jason Wallace, James Baker. The first scenes of Up, a bunch of people mentioned that, but this is from Curtis James Kalkthaler. Cool name. Let's do a couple of more. Jana Marie, the ending of The Notebook, when Allie briefly remembers her love with Noah again, and then her Alzheimer's kicks back in, and elderly Noah makes that saddest cry face in history. Oh, God, the end of The Notebook is so sad, Noel.
I haven't seen The Notebook. I think I unfairly thought of it as like a teen kind of movie. And I mean,
it's Nicholas Sparks. It is what it is, but it's very well acted. And, you know, Ryan Gosling and Rachel McAdams were falling in love in real life. So that always is pretty impactful on screen, you know?
Yeah, no, for sure.
It's good stuff.
Seems like good chemistry.
All right, let's do a couple more because this is getting sort of sad. A movie I haven't seen yet, Babel, Audrey... Arizoza says the nanny lost in the desert with the kids kills me. Did you ever see Babel?
I did. It's been a long time. It's great. It's sort of like a Shortcuts type movie where it's like a big ensemble cast and different intersecting storylines and stuff. And it's one of those Mexican directors that's like sort of in that clique with like Alfonso Cuarón and Iñárritu. And I forget which one actually did. I think it's the one that did 21 Grams.
Yeah, that's who it is.
Yeah.
I always get those guys confused, which is my bad.
Well, no, I mean, they all came out kind of at the same time here in the States, and they all knew each other. It was definitely like a little kind of collective almost, you know?
Okay. Well, then good. I don't feel so bad. Let me see here. 7 Pounds That's from Peter Fisher. Right at the end, when the character he gave his life for, they find each other. And let's finish up with, let me find a good one here. Oh, here we go. Will Rivera, at the very end of Call Me By Your Name. I've been in that emotional place, and it's devastating. Yeah, Will, that's a good one. Good one, good one. All right, Noel, I think that I'm thoroughly bummed out now. And I'm going to go.
You're going to leave us on a downer note like this, Chuck?
I'm going to go walk into traffic. No.
No.
No, but this makes me want to see a sad movie, actually.
Yeah.
Or just rewatch Thunder Road.
I got to see this Thunder Road, Chuck. This sounds like medicine for the soul.
It's really good, man. He's a very talented guy. I can't wait to see what he does next.
This is his first picture?
Yeah, that he, you know, micro budget, written, directed, starring, you know, it's $200,000 budget. It's one of those.
Crazy.
It's great. All right, Noel, that wraps it up for me. Got to get up on out of here and do other work.
Yeah, man. Same.
Get working on that book.
Yeah, get your book writing on.
So have a good week, everybody. Hang in there. Be kind to one another. Do your best. And we'll be thinking about you. See you next week. Mm-hmm.
For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.